Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast, and we're coming to you on a Sunday evening. And we are myself, Adam, and Aldo is the other person that comprises we. How you doing tonight, man?
Oh, doing pretty good. Getting ready for the holidays, and happy about it.
See, today you're eating the mic.
Yeah, I got to now.
We just got a whole thing with it. It's like a running joke with you and the mic. Sometimes you're too far, sometimes you're too close. You never know what Aldo's going to do.
I am running with the mic.
Yeah. So, hey, a big win, and it feels good. It doesn't feel as good as if this were like a preview of December 1st, right? And we're gonna beat them here and take them on later on, or in like a game that kind of clinched or got us closer to a conference championship berth. But it's a win, right? I mean, FAU whooped us. Just destroyed us last season. I think it was like 110 to like, what did we have, 31, and then we had 17, 110 to 47, right? And the total score in two games. And then they had 1,436 yards in two games against us, right? Obviously that 800-yarder and then, the whatever. Awful time. Well, it was kind of burned in, right? Like, I think this is a big hump, and so I think this is a big win. Like, Seth Luttrell, for all the praise that he got last season, he got humbled twice. Once nationally, right, on national TV, right? Everybody tuned in for the Conference USA Championship game, and there he is on the sideline. Taking a loss, taking a beating. It was 41-17, which was a beatdown, and the offense moved the ball here and there, but it was just a coronation for Florida Atlantic. And Lane Kiffin was there kind of smirking, and all the highlight videos of FAU for the past year have been of those two games. One, because that's the good ESPN footage you can get, and so they're just like, Florida Atlantic, and then they're just running. You can see Kyrie Muhammad's like, no, please. Kyrie Muhammad had himself a great game yesterday. Like I said, one, I was kind of half joking, but he did get burnt last season in the matchup, right? There was a play action. I think Driscoll hit him over the top. He got beat. And I think Kyrie Muhammad also got beat against Cortland Sutton, right? He's the one that missed that tackle last season, first game. It just popped in.
Missed the tackle, more like getting run over.
Yeah, okay. So my point is that he wanted to come in, and then he got kicked out last week for allegedly spitting on Jonathan Duhart in Old Dominion in a game that we'll hopefully quickly forget. And he came out and played well, right? He got an interception to seal it. He was making tackles, flying around, hitting dudes. There was one, I think, 3rd and 8, and he made a huge stop on the receiver to hold him short of the first down marker. I mean, just a well-played game by the defense all across the board, even though, FAU scored a little bit, right? What were your impressions of the game? Because those were mine.
It's kind of an extension of what you're saying, Nate Brooks as well. I mean, the senior DBs were just balling out. FAU's got some fast dudes, and there's only so much you can do on any given play, and those guys are on an island sometimes defending these super, super fast dudes. And that's what you saw, that last big touchdown pass from Robeson to, who was it?
All right, yeah, I think they went to, you said Durant. Did they go to Durant? I don't know who it went to. I mean, I was not happy about it is what I'm going to say. Can I say that? Can I just say?
It kind of gives our momentum that we had going. It kills a little bit, and it's getting close to the end of the game, and we're feeling, oh, we got this. 10 points, and there's 5 minutes left in the game. We're putting this away. But they've got fast dudes, and they run the up tempo. And when it works, it really sucks for us. At the beginning of the game, it did not work, and it took them a long time to score. But then when they started scoring, it was boom, boom, boom. So the up tempo giveth, and it taketh away. So, and that's how it was the whole game, where we were feeling good, and then they were feeling good, and then we were feeling good. Those defensive backs had good games, though.
Well, I think maybe because it's been, 4 days 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 3 days, like almost whole days since the game happened. We should recap a little bit because I think we're missing the big thing, right? Which is that we went up 17-0 and that lead evaporated, right? So that was the same old North Texas there, even though it's the new version of North Texas, that's the same old, right?
North Texas.
Yeah. same new North Texas. DeAndre Torrey, 13-yard touchdown run, right? Good drive. The run game's looking good. Offense, you know, going down the field real quick. We get a stop. We drive. It's a pretty good drive. 5 plays, 34 yards. We're forced into a field goal. Not the greatest, right? But we're not super worried about the offense at that point. You know, 10-0 lead, it's great. We get a couple other stops. Touchdown. Jalen Guyton, who hadn't dropped passes up to this point. He eventually would, and you know, I think I was tweeting, I was like, "Hey, no drops from Guyton. He's playing well."
He
3-yard touchdown. I think they reviewed it or whatever. 17-0 at that point, and I think we only had the ball. All our drives are like a minute, except the first one, which is like 4 minutes. So 17-0 at that point, and what was that, the 3 minutes ago in the first quarter, feeling good. And then Chris Roberson hit was it Harrison Bryant, 56 yards for a touchdown score. That guy was good, and he balled out all day. Let me take a look at his stats real quick. 6 catches, 138 yards, and that score that we just mentioned.
And up to that point, Roberson was at about 50 yards passing.
Yeah.
And so he doubled his output for the half in that one play.
Yeah, and that was the thing that because I believe this is that play action one. This is one that, I figure it's coming. Like, if you, the thing about going into a game against Lane Kiffin is that you know whatever it is that you're bad at, he's going to find it and he's going to exploit it. There's going to be at least one play designed to exploit that. And North Texas had been, you know, we watched the games closely, right, with a fine-toothed comb. And I remember the Liberty game. Liberty had a tight end, well, an H-back streaking down the middle of the field, and their dude Buckshot was staring down his guy on the outside, right? And he just fired the pass, and Nate Brooks got a pass breakup. And so they didn't hit the guy over the middle, right? The Miners said, you know, UTEP was like, hey, let's remember that one. And they hit the coach's son, right? He caught that one, and, you know, he got some big yards.
That's right.
And we're like, what? How are we letting that guy beat us? Well, they, you know, the defense kind of makes that vulnerable because of the way we block, right? We're aggressive. We see a read. We're like, all right, this guy's doing this. I'm going to attack. And so then he can leak out, right? It's not something you can build an offense around, but you can hit North Texas on that, right? Okay. Harrison Bryant did the same thing. He got a touchdown. Okay. You know, good play, Lane Kiffin. He's always going to be good for doing that. And if you remember, right, Nate Brooks was struggling last season with the double moves, and so he hit him with the double moves. He's like, let's see if you can guard it, which I say it's smart football, and I respect him for it. I mean, you know, if you show that they're weak at this, well, why would you just, you know, not attack that? You know what I mean? Let's try that play.
I mean, that's his job.
Yeah, exactly. You're not a good offensive coordinator, and, you know, a coordinator means game plan and calling plays during the game, right? So two-pronged deal. All right, 17-7, North Texas drives down, gets a field goal. This is not so great, right? Because we make it 20-7. We feel like we probably can push the lead out, but it's okay, right? Still feeling good. Touchdown, Devin Singletary, 14-20. Okay, this is a good drive for them. I think they went 11 plays, 75 yards. We figured they'd get a good drive eventually. Because if you watched FAU at all this season, you know that they haven't really been bad. They've just had turnovers, right? They've had very specific badness, and that's in the quarterback spot. Devin Singletary has been ganged up because the quarterback hasn't been able to keep people off of him. But you saw the way that Chris Roberson can play, and he's going to be pretty good for them eventually. But right now, he's still young and he's making mistakes, and they're missing the leadership, the on-field leadership of the Driscoll kid.
And he reminds me of a bigger DeMarcus Smith.
I could see that.
You know?
Yeah. He's
a good runner. Like, I mean, he can't juke like DeMarcus Smith, but he's fast and he can run. And then he's got a cannon for an arm with no touch.
Yeah, once he gets a little touch on it, then he's going to be dangerous. And I think even right now, it's not even that he's putting the ball in the wrong spot. Spots. I mean, like he can't get the ball there. He's not accurate. It's that he's making the wrong decisions. Maybe that arm is too strong, and he's like, I can fire an interception. You know what I mean?
Well, no, and it's he has a problem with accuracy. And if you watch the first game, it really came out where, you know, crossers and digs and, you know, normal pass plays, guys going down the field, and he was just missing them pretty bad, overthrowing or underthrowing left or right. And so after that, they adjusted for him, and instead of forcing him to pass like on those deep passes, mm-hmm. They're on comeback routes, or guys sit in the zone, or it's a swing pass. If you notice that, these guys are just sitting there waiting for the ball to come to them. And so that's how they adjusted for Robeson's issues. And then as he builds confidence in that game, give him an opportunity to strike with the big pass down the field like he did with Durant or Durante.
It's Durant, but you can see their threat, right? They hit big plays. There was a 56 yards to Harrison Bryant, and, you know, 17, 19, 36 yards in the third quarter. He hit Harrison Bryant again. And then eventually that 55-yard pass to Javon Durant. That was a beautiful pass, though, you got to say. And I think it was a little scissors route, and taking advantage of the way North Texas plays defense there, because Nate Brooks is expecting help over the middle, and he didn't get it because of the play design. So it's not really like Nate Brooks just got beat. He did get beat, but he was also expecting a little help there. So back to the second quarter, we started struggling, right? Because, you know, we already had the 20. The 3 points we got in the second quarter, that was it, right? So 17 points in the first quarter, that was all of it. And, yeah, I think everybody started feeling a little frustration, you know? So FAU drives, make it 14. North Texas throws an interception. Mason Fine gets picked by Rashad Smith at the 30. That was – this is the second interception? Was it Rashad?
I think that was the first.
Okay, it was the first one. Okay. Yeah, because I can't remember if he threw another one at that point. I mean, I'll look it up. But, yeah, so interception Mason Fine. And this one, here's the thing. Mason Fine, yeah, he's only had the 3 coming into the game. Was it 2 coming into the game? And then he ended with 4. He's thrown some almosts, right? It's not like he's just deadly accurate and, you know, like, how do we ever even, you know, get the ball from this guy? Like, he's thrown some where you're like, oh, that should have been an interception. He got lucky there. That guy dropped it. Or I think there was one in one of the field goals. He threw it to the corner to Mike Lawrence. And he basically said, Mike Lawrence, go do a jump ball against a safety or corner who's just waiting. Yeah, it was not a good play. I think on NCAA 14, it's a pick every time. It's not even like Mason Fine has been perfect. You know, he's been great, and he's also been a little bit lucky. Again, what's the motto of this show? We'd rather be lucky than good sometimes, you know?
And he's been playing it really safe. Usually he's throwing those away instead of forcing it in between two guys that are that close.
Yeah, and I think I said, was it last week's podcast or in the React podcast to that very awful loss? I was like, you know, maybe Mason needs to force it in there sometimes, right? Maybe we need to make a play. Maybe he needs to throw a few more interceptions so that way we can try to get a few more passes that shouldn't be there, right? Make something out of nothing. And I was kind of speculating because I don't know exactly what he's doing. And, you know, maybe that's what he did there. I don't know. Maybe he listened to the show. He's like, you know what, Adam, you're right. was it that one? Yeah, so FAU gets the ball. Kareth Wright, White, sorry. 29 yards, breaks a tackle, shakes a dude, touchdown, FAU. It's really looking bad here, right? We're like, okay, we're down 21-20. North Texas gets the ball. Mason, was it Torrey, 4 yards out of bounds. Mason Fine incomplete to Mike Lawrence. Mason Fine, scramble run on third down, and then we punt the ball. So at that point, we're getting a little nervous,
You feel it, and you know, In the first half of the first quarter, when things were going our way, you know, Mason Fine's got time to throw. They're gelling. They're going through the script. It's working great. And then in the second quarter, or toward the end of the first quarter, into the second quarter, you know, mistakes, bad luck, interceptions, a tipped pass for an interception, I think, or was that the interception for the, I don't know, the way you didn't see the linebacker.
Yeah.
Either way, you know, he's getting flushed out of the pocket. There's miscommunication between him and the receivers. Like, he's yelling, I think, at Lawrence. where usually, you know, they've got a good dynamic, a good chemistry. He knows where he's going to go. Well, that communication started falling apart. And yeah, we started feeling the same way again, feeling bad towards the end of the half.
Yeah, I mean, so here's a good part where the defense played really well, right? Following that situation, we're feeling kind of scared, right? A little scary. It's too scary, as my kid says. Here's what's great, because last year this would have been a touchdown drive. Devin Singletary, 3-yard run. Deion Noble, tackle. Next one, Devin Singletary, loss of 3 yards. Tackle Kimon Hall. This is the one where he slipped in. I think it was a little corner blitz. He got in the backfield, made a tackle. Again, here's an improvement from last season where we had him dead to rights a couple times last season in the October game in Boca Raton, and we just didn't make those tackles. I could see EJ Ejia getting, you know, just, you know, ran through on an arm tackle. Brandon Garner ran through on an arm tackle. I forget to get the linebacker that graduated. Same kind of deal. Is that we had him, we let him go. This time, a cornerback, Kimon Hall, who, by the way, I think I just saw him. Skip Kid 16, right? They tweeted he's doing like this core workout where they're holding his knees down, holding his feet down, and he's like leaning forward, and then just, you know, doing a reverse crunch. It's all core workout. I was telling my wife, I could do that. I could do that. Right? I do that right now. That's how I get out of bed in the morning. Anyway, so then, you know, like, and then here's Chris Roberson step back to pass on 3rd and 10 again. An area where we struggled last season, Nate Brooks holds him to a 9-yard catch, right? And you're like, well, you got caught 9 yards, but he holds him. It's FAU punts the ball. That was a hell of a defensive drive by the defense, right? Offense just did it 3 and out. We need some help. Defense steps up. And this is, you know, what is this, second quarter here? Great stop. Great stop. And then North Texas drives down. I think... what happens on 4th down, 4th and goal? This is the one, 4th and goal. We tried that little, I don't know, zone read. I don't know exactly what happened. But
yeah, it was either inside zone or inside zone read.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened on this one. It was weird. We lined up in that little diamond formation, and it looked like we tried to run it from the 2, and Mason kept it and tried to get on the outside. And I think you were criticizing Rico Buzzi for not blocking. It looked to me like Rico Buzzi was supposed to do a little shake and like fake the fade route to draw the corner, and as he was doing that, the corner recognized the play, and so then he like tried to turn and get a block, but whatever. I don't want Mason Fine running for the end zone as our go to play, right? Like I don't want at the very least that was option 2. I don't want that to be option 2. Let's not do that play. You know, let's have it be Rico Buzzi, Jalen Guyton, Mike Lawrence, Kelvin Smith. Those are our options, 1, 2, and 4, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Not, all right, I'm going to run it.
Yeah, and it's been working.
Yeah, I don't like that play so much. I understand it, but short yardage has been the bugaboo. And it's not going to get fixed right now. Or it's not going to get fixed by the bowl game. It's just going to be a thing.
Well, and I like that play because, I mean, it's worked against Arkansas. It worked against SMU last year. It's worked, I guess, when it needed to. But it didn't work today or that day.
Yeah. But that was a good drive. I think that one was 9 plays, 56 yards, and you get down to the 2, right? And then you end up forcing them to punt again. Great job by the defense. And I think everybody was kind of like, why are we not stopping the clock? I think this is that whole weird thing where we're like, why didn't we stop the clock? And we were trying to get the ball back and go score is why we called timeout. I think everybody was like, just get to the half. I mean, I like that they get aggressive and they try to go score.
Yeah, score and then get the ball back.
Okay, so not the greatest situation. Second quarter, I think we only had 65 total yards. It reminds me of that Louisiana Tech game. This is the very, very Louisiana Tech to me. Just the one interception in that one. The first interception came in the first quarter, turns out. Third quarter, turned it on. We had 112 yards of offense, scored 14 points, 2 touchdowns in this one. We decided to run the ball. At half, I was saying, look, they were dropping into an 8-man thing, and Mason Fine was forcing the ball in there. And he was not being helped out by his offense. I saw two guys in the same zone a couple times. And I don't know if that was the running back's fault. I think it was Torrey, but I'm not sure. But he, you know, he does a check thing. Check is as a like a little check route where he tries to block nobody there. Then he tries to get out and get open. Well, he ran to the center zone right where Rico Bussi was waiting, like throwing the ball. So you don't want that generally. Just the offensive principle. You don't want two guys standing in the same spot calling for the ball, because then you could just have one guy guarding them. You know. We were like, okay, we either need to catch the ball better, because I think that's when Guyton was dropping the ball, right? Or we need to run the ball better. And something, is it a draw? Is it a draw from Mason Fine? Is it a handoff? A little delayed draw? Well, it turns out it was a run from DeAndre Torrey from Tripp's left that got big yards. And I think that was a 46-yard run there. I'm not even looking right now. It was a 46-yard run. Look at me. I'm great.
That was something that I was going to commend the coaches for, is that FAU was showing blitz. And I think Greg had pointed this out, that they were disguising the blitz or showing blitz and then dropping the guys. And they were, you know, getting eight guys in the zone and they were having trouble with that. Well, they had Trips left. They were showing pass. They handed off to Torrey.
Mm-hmm.
Guys dropped back instead of blitzing. And he only had two guys that needed blocking, and he ran for 43 yards.
Yeah, and then Mason Fine does a little 6-yard draw. And then there was the rough in the passer play on 3rd and 4. I don't know if that was rough in the passer. I do know it looked like he got hit in the chin to me. He had at the very least gashed his wrist. And, I mean, there was some trolley trolls on the Twitters, but whatever. This is the way football is going. I could see in 2018, they're going to call that rough in the passer. Yes, I can see that very clearly. In 1992, no, they're not going to call that. And we're not going to go back to 1992, so it's silly to legislate that, you know?
Yeah, but I think where the rough in the passer came in is from the guy, the second guy hitting him under the chin after the ball had left his hands and he lowered his head. I mean, he could have been going for the chest or for the shoulder hit, but, you know, it just happened that his helmet ran right up into his chin, and you got to call it.
Yeah, I don't really envy the defense trying to sack a quarterback or hit a quarterback because you're like, I need to get there. Okay, I need to slow up. You know what I mean? Right. And, oh, man, I let him score. Wasn't that a couple weeks ago that happened in the NFL? Somebody let Tom Brady score a touchdown because they thought they tackled him, but they let him go because they didn't want to hurt him, rough him. Anyway, back to the thing, the Shanbor. Shannon, as you call him for some reason.
Is that me?
Yeah, what were you tweeting on?
I was on a Fire tablet. Did I call him that?
I don't know what people call
type on it. Because I would type in the correct word, and then it would change it. Oh, you meant this.
Yeah, so you typed in Shanbor, and it was like, Shannon? You're like, Shannon with a great run. Mean Green Nation podcast favorite, spring game all-star, spring game MVP, back-to-back years, spring game Hall of Famer, Quinn Shanbor. He did a little 5-yard run. Here's the thing. Here's a little tip for every defense that's going to face North Texas from now to the end of the season. Quinn Shanbor is in the game. He's going to run the ball. He's in the game, he's run the ball. And, you know, he runs 5 yards, touchdown. North Texas in the lead, 27-24 at that point. Another great stop from the defense. Incomplete. Stuff Devin Singletary. Hambone, EJ Agia getting to the backfield. And then Nate Brooks' interception. Nate Brooks stepping up, ladies and gentlemen. So who do we give the ball to here? Ladies and gentlemen, take a guess. Quinn Shanbor. It was 5 yards to Torrey, 4 yards to Shanbor, 2 yards to Torrey, 7 yards Shanbor, 3 yards Torrey, 18 yards Quinn Shanbor on 1st and 10 from the 18.
Beautifully blocked, I gotta say. Kelvin Smith was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Shanny is a little bit faster than Mason Fine, I think, just a little bit. And at the very least, he's a little bit more expendable, I guess.
He's a better runner. He's a better natural runner than Mason
Fine. But yeah, he steps in, gets two touchdowns and two straight drives, one to take the lead, one to extend the lead. It's 34-24 North Texas at that point. And I think we're all feeling really great. Is this where they score that touchdown? Yes, this is where they score that 55-yard. No, there's an 8-yard touchdown, Singletary. They just had a good drive. Again, this is where you remember, hey, Devin Singletary's pretty good, right? I think on one section he has 8-yard run, 23-yard run, 8-yard run for the score. Very, very typical FAU stuff there. Kareth White is real good, too. Let's give him some credit. He's tough.
Yeah, and they were rotating him out like one play, Singletary. One, next play, White. Mm-hmm. Next play, Singletary. So they were fresh. I mean, you know, if it works with the amp tempo because they're not off the field for very long, then it works.
Yeah, and he's real good. And then this is a part where they're like, okay, let's throw the ball with Quinn Shanbor. And that didn't work out. I think he was a little bit behind Rico, and then he completed a pass to Rico. It looked like he got the first down to me, but it turns out he didn't get it. Whatever. Then North Texas got a stop, forced him into three and out. Again, I'm highlighting those three and outs because those are very important. You can't just be like, all right, North Texas got the ball back. Well, how? At that point right there, North Texas is up 34-31. We just punted the ball. We don't know if Mason Fine's coming back in. We're a little worried, right? Like, what's going to happen? 2-yard rush by White. 2-yard rush by Devin Singletary. Again, gang tackling here. Deion Noble, Nate Brooks got a tackle there. And then it's throw the ball time. Robeson throws it to Singletary, and this is where Kyrie Muhammad flies in, makes a tackle, right? It's 3rd and 6. He gets 5. That's Devin Singletary in open space. You need to make that tackle. He does. There's a stop. And then there's an improvement from last week. Old Dominion, they threw it to Isaiah Harper on 3rd and 6, and he gets 53 yards, right? So, I mean, this is the same kind of deal. When you got to make a play, are you stepping up and making a play? Last week, we didn't. This week, we do.
Yeah, and you got to, I got to commend the coaches on this one, the defensive coaches this time. You know, when FAU was rolling in the first quarter and second quarter, they were attacking hard on the right side of the O-line, so the left side of the defense. That's where Singletary was getting huge runs, and they were going down and scoring. And so Ruffin adjusted and put another guy over there on that side and then forced Singletary to run up the middle instead, and that's where we were getting those quick three and outs. So the difference there, I guess, I didn't notice the adjustments in a game like last week versus this week where we were closing up those wounds, fixing what needed to be fixed on the fly, and we were waiting for the half to come up before somebody said, oh, we need to do this, and fixing it.
Here's one thing. If you guys listen to the Conference USA Report podcast, Ed Miller was saying that Old Dominion's head coach was saying that North Texas did a great job, and the best they've seen all season, of disguising their coverages, disguising their intentions. They were trying to do little RPOs on us, but we did a great job hiding and forcing him into things. So we're pretty good defense, guys, is what I'm saying. Here's a little fun stat. First quarter, North Texas goes 1-2 on third down. Second quarter, 0-4. Third quarter, 1-2. Third quarter, 1-2. Fourth quarter, 0-4, right? That's not good. Loss in this win, right? We scored 41 points. It was the fact that we're not so great on third downs in this one. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Some of that was, Quinn Shanbor's in there and the third down doesn't work. The third, fourth quarter, like, carryover, Mason Fine steps in. He's feeling great. We got the ball back. We're feeling good. Mason Fine rushes for 13 yards. That was a great play call. And then he gets sacked in the next one. And I think Fine fumbled and he picked it up. So 1st and 10 turns into 2nd and 18, then a no gain by Nick Smith, and then Mason Fine basically gets sacked, right? So we punt the ball. Not the greatest situation.
I think I called it.
That he was going to run or that we're going to punt?
I called. So they got the second and 18. And I said, all right, they're going to try to run it. They're going to get 2 yards. I think it was the one where they got like 30-21.
Yeah.
So they got a little predictable when they get stressed.
So next drive, it was actually a pretty longish drive. And again, at this point, I think North Texas is still up 34-31. Longish drive, they drive from their own 32 to our 23. They miss a field goal. But a key stop, second and 9. Kyrie Muhammad, Roderick Young shut down Devin Singletary for a loss of 5 yards. They were just really good there. That's a huge stop. Change the game, get him a little further back in field goal position, right? Because it turns from a relative chippy, right? It's a college kicker, to a little bit more difficult kick. And I think that's from 41 at that point. But just great tackle all the way around. I'm looking at the tackles here. I remember Kyrie Muhammad here, Jameel Moore, great tackle. Some of these, like, you know, big game savers, right? And you're like, oh, that doesn't matter. They still got the first down. Well, you stop them there, they don't get extra yards. And so when you hold them on third down, it's a field goal, right? And not a field goal from far out, and not a chippy. It all matters. It all adds up. So a missed field goal. North Texas has the ball, feeling good. I think we go 3-and-out on this one again. Well, no, I'm lying. Just look at the plays. 5 plays, 34 yards, but we punted on 4th-and-3. Not the greatest drive on that one. I think we actually threw the ball to DeAndre Torrey. I'm waiting for this one. Then another stop is, again, on 3rd down, 3rd-and-8, incomplete to Willie Wright. But the two key plays, 1st-and-10, Devin Singletary, 2-yard gain. T.J. Taualo and then Taylor Robinson stop him. Next one, Devin Singletary, right? Their best player, no gain. Deion Noble, E.J. Agia on 2nd-and-8. That's huge right there. Last year, those would be gashing runs. This is how we held Devin Singletary to under 100 yards. He scored, he had a good game, but under 100 yards, this is the game right here. All these stops, these little, rush for 2 yards, rush for no yards. That means that, hey, you put the ball in Chris Robeson's hands, who's not good, not at this point, right? I'd rather him beat us than it's like 3rd-and-1, they give it to Devin Singletary. Yeah, that's how you win this game. And then get the ball at the 8. We're like, okay, what are we going to do on this one? We'll just give it to DeAndre Torrey. 92 yards to the house.
5th longest, I think.
Yeah.
Run for, in North Texas history, 4 score.
Yeah, I think all the longest ones came in losses. Like, I think, what was it, the Casey Fitzgerald, like, 98-yarder, right? Or 99-yarder. It was a little throw, and he broke a tackle, took it to the house, and that was a loss to, like, Louisiana Lafayette. And then the one to Carlos Harris from Andrew McNulty against Rice, that was a loss also. So this was good to see one, a 90-yarder and a win, right? Well, I think Brandon Bird had a long one against, like, Tulsa or something, right? I remember.
Nope, that was a win, right?
Yeah, that was a win. All right, good. That was a win. Anything greater than 92 yards is a loss. And then, yeah, the rest.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. But yeah, 92 yards to the house. You can see why he's in the game. You see why he's our number one back at this point. He's so talented. I mean, he fumbles a little too much, right? You can see why everybody's a little frustrated with him, but...
I mean, because he is like a... Not to steal, take away from Singletary, but he's a little motor. Like, he keeps going. He doesn't stop.
Yeah, I don't know when the last time anybody listened to the show has run 100 yards, let alone sprinted 100 yards. Like, not just kind of jogged. Like, yeah, you know, just kind of get out there. But, like, sprinted 100 yards. That's hard. Even these guys. Tackles. Yeah, even these guys, they don't really do that. You know, like, it's not often that you're out there sprinting. But, you know, you can. I'm looking right now. I'm looking for the stats. So, yeah, I'm looking for the stats for this week. So, go ahead.
At this point, you were saying earlier that you want Roberson to beat us instead of Singletary. Because Singletary is your best player. It makes sense to give him the ball, win the game for FAU. Mm-hmm. And once Torrey ran for 92 yards and a touchdown, I was feeling really good about myself. And I said, at this point, give the ball to Roberson. Make Roberson throw the ball.
Yeah, that was smart play, smart calls. But I think the difference is because football is real simple, right? Hey, how about we throw good passes and don't throw bad passes, and we should be good, right? Yeah, right? That's how we can sound. Sometimes we can sound real smart out here. But how do you do that, right? How do you? Great idea. Great. Now, how's it done? Right? How do we put it in his hands? How do we make sure our guys are in the right spot, getting in there, making a tackle? That's why they pay Troy Reffitt, whatever they pay him. I don't even know off the top of my head. But that's why they pay him that, because he's really good. And, you know, he can do that. He can motivate him. He can prepare him to get him in that spot. I'm looking right now for DeAndre Torrey's touchdowns. He has 11. Is he 11?
11 rushing.
Yeah. 11 rushing. And how many receiving?
I guess four. I think he might have 14 total.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause, yeah. Yeah. He has, this is nine rushing, two receiving. This is wrong, right? I'm looking at the conference's stats. Oh, these are Conference USA stats only. My bad. My fault. Let me look at these other ones. Oh, so in conference play, these are not good. Sorry, guys. There I go, relying on league provided stats. He has with 14 and 15, right? He's charging up the stats right there. 92 yards to the house again. That was great. It's always fun to see a 92 yard run. He's so fast. He reminds me of Raekwon Dickens out there from UIW, and I keep talking about UIW just because I'm like, hey, Eric Morris, Texas Tech receiver, young, is in the game. Our coaches might be poached, you know. Maybe that's a guy we got to keep an eye on. They're good. They're gonna make the FCS playoffs.
And it's fun.
Yeah, they won the Southland Conference. They got a share of it.
All right, so he's got 13 rushing touchdowns and 2 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, 15 total. He's a baller, guys, and he's gonna get better. He's gonna get a little bit stronger. Maybe stop fumbling. But here's the thing. Jeffrey Wilson fumbled the ball too much, and we're fine with it. If you can make enough plays where you fumble a lot, and we're like, oh, just don't do that again. Then that's fine.
If you score 3 touchdowns in a game, I think we'll let it slide.
Yeah, because if you're a guy that one carry, 2 yards fumble, then you know, cause you're like, no, it's not gonna happen.
I mean, it's a lot about that second effort stuff. And yeah. He's 5'8".
Yeah.
So that has something to do with it. But you know, when they first recruited him, when they first signed him on, watching his Missouri tape. Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Mississippi. It's an M. There's an S in it. I know it. You get it. Yeah.
Like I mentioned previously, is that he looked like a good fit for the air raid. He's explosive. And you saw that on display, especially on that first pass, that first touchdown of the game, that 13-yard reception from Mason Fine. He completely outran those guys. And FAU defenders just seemed a little startled at his speed. Because he is fast.
Yeah, I mean, football is a simple game, right? You guys remember playing in the backyard and, you know, somebody threw the ball. If you're faster than them, you just try to outrun everybody, right? If you're quicker, maybe do a little shake and bake and try to get by people. If you're just bigger and they try to tackle you and bring you down, you just kind of drag a few of them, right? Drag your little brother 3-4 extra yards. Those are the 3 ways to get by people. Some people have those, like what Adrian Peterson has, all of those, right? You're like, I'll be big and strong, fast and quick. And you're just like, okay, now you're just completely unfair. The explosive qualities are perfect for this kind of offense, right? Because we spread everybody out, and we can get you the ball in space. And, you know, like the tight ends, right, Kelvin Smith, that kind of guy, they can kind of bowl over people, and you need those dudes for that kind of thing. But the running backs are going to get the ball a lot, like a short little easy passes, right? And usually they're not the first option. There's not a whole lot of plays that are designed to get the ball to the running backs, although there are some plays like that. We used to get Willie Ivory in the little wheel routes a lot, right? And hit him on, because he was good at that. You can catch the ball and he was fast, and they would forget about him and he'd turn up the field and we'd find him and score a touchdown. But those are just kind of catching you off guard plays. A lot of them are screens, right? Catch the ball, go make a play. And that's what makes him great, DeAndre Torrey here. It's because, you know, he can turn it up. He just needs a sliver of daylight, and then he's gone. As we saw here, right? 92 yards. He got into the open space, but no one ever closed it down. It was one cornerback from the other side of the field who was his equal, you know, in sprinting, I guess. But he had the angle, and the cornerback dove, and once he missed him at the 10, it was over, right? And he just kind of finished the race into the end zone. It's not always going to be 92 yards, but you've seen him, right? The 37-yard run he had last week. A lot of that stuff is just get a little bit of daylight, turn up the field, make a play. Run to daylight.
Yeah, it's, and fun. It's great blocking, great playmaking. It's just, it's awesome when it works.
Yeah, and it sucks when it doesn't work, right? I'm forgetting our running back who went down. Loren Easley. He's more about breaking tackles, right? He's more about dragging you, and he's not going to really make you miss in space. Nick Smith is a little bit more make you miss in space, I think. He's less breaking tackles. But he has a little bit of speed and a little bit of quickness. Anyway, whatever, that's running back talk.
But that brings it to a larger point of you know, something that I had noticed that North Texas was using outlet guys a little bit more often this week than they had in the past. And I think that might be due to the offensive line issues. You know, Mason Fine not having enough time. And so when guys get covered up, now he's got somebody to dump off to, like Nick Smith and DeAndre Torrey. Sometimes the outlet would be a guy like Jaylen Darden or Mike Lawrence. And there were more times that I saw this than not. This week.
Yeah, what was I going to say about it? I had a thought about that. So, if you guys remember, right, in 2016, we kind of had the base air raid offense, right? It's nothing, none of the wrinkles, none of the weird other things, and like counter plays to like the normal play, like a normal play where you see the mesh, right, the two guys, and the guy runs a post, and this time is he fakes the post and does a comeback and whatever, like, you know, weird things. None of that. It was just kind of the vanilla offense. There was a lot more throwing the ball to running backs, right? Getting, because you can have five receivers on any play, right? It's the maximum number of receivers. We didn't go five wide, but we'd get five guys in the passing patterns, right? Four receivers and the running back. The problem was that we were getting killed, that our quarterbacks were getting murdered, and we're like, you know what? We need a guy in here to just protect. Or the run game was not doing so well, and we're like, you know what? We need another guy to just kind of change the angles, right? And you remember that Army game, right? We busted out the pistol, and we got, you know, number 44. I can't remember his name now. Number 44. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mackey's out there changing the game. So you get Mackey out there, that means you lose a receiver. And, you know, he's just basically going to block. You kind of know what he's going to do. And so that changes the whole offense a little bit, right? Now you got three out there in a pattern, or definitely not three receivers either. It's three, you know, I mean, definitely not four receivers. Even if you get Mackey out there to do something, I mean, really? Is he going to change the game? Is he going to bring in a different package for the defense? No, he's not. They know what he's going to do, and at best he's going to just chip block. He's going to, you know, that's his whole purpose. So we've been doing a lot of that, and we've been having a lot of success. Last season had a lot of success with the H-back, had Kelvin Smith back there. But this season hasn't been so great, and we've seen it, right? We try to get some of these backs in there to chip, to block, to pass block. They haven't been as good as Jeff Wilson. And as you said, their value is more getting the ball and going than it is staying in and trying to block a linebacker blitzing down the middle, right? So a lot of this, getting them out and letting them go make plays, is the better option. However, I don't want to see Mason Fine getting murdered back there. You don't want to see Mason Fine getting murdered back there. He already takes too many hits. So when we say, let's get back to get him four and five wide receivers so he can find a guy and get the ball out, right? It means he's going to take some more hits. And nobody wants to see that. I think that's the issue. Yeah, that's the issue that you face if you're Graham Harrell and Seth Luttrell. How do you like? We need some offense, but we also don't need Mason Fine to die.
Which he almost did this weekend.
Yes,
he is a grown man.
He's a baller, man. He's so tough. So some of those getting them out to passes, finding them, and letting them go make plays. You know, I think ideally, I think their answer is getting those guys better. Because, you know, I just complained. Some of those running backs are running into the wrong spots, right? So that doesn't help anybody. Yeah. If you stay in to block, and if you can't really block him, because you're not, right? You're DeAndre Torrey, you're 5'8", you know, maybe 200 pounds. And here comes a linebacker who has been practicing shedding blocks from 300-pound linemen all week. Yeah, he's going to just...
Like 4 years old.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to, you know, throw you aside and go hit Mason Fine. So you're not really doing anybody any help there. Okay, so let's get you out in the pass pattern. Okay, I think I'm supposed to go here. And you run, and you covered Rico Bussey, right? So now Mason Fine has no... instead of five receivers, he has three because both of you guys are covered by each other now. Thanks a lot. So now the three guys who weren't open are definitely not open. Now Mason Fine has to run for his life. And then, you know, he gets hit. So both of those options are the same, even though you're like, no, we'll get more guys out in pass pattern. You got to execute whatever it is that you're going to do. If you're going to stay in and have guys block, max protect, cool, great job. Now do it well. Okay, we're going to have five guys out there. Great. Get open. Everybody run your route. Make your reads, right? Get open. Settle down. Make the catch. Make a play. There's my spiel.
This is a pass from the punt formation.
Yeah. Just do that. You know, I saw like a flag football game, and that's kind of what they did. Like they hiked it, and the guy like sprinted right and then threw a little pass, but that seemed like to be their whole offense. I was like, that he seems way far back. They're just giving up a lot of yards. I don't know. Whatever. So touchdown, North Texas, and then touchdown, FAU. A little shootout, right? 55-yard pass to Javon Durant, and then North Texas gets the ball. I think we tried to run the ball out this one. Three plays, negative 4 yards, but we used a minute, so that was nice. Not the greatest thing. I think Mason Fine got sacked. Did he like lose the ball? I forget what happened there. Second and 21, not the greatest time to do anything. You know, run to Nick Smith, and then DeAndre Torrey runs for 4 yards. Punt the ball, and then we win the game because Kyrie Muhammad intercepts the pass on 3rd and 15. Great job by him. Great job by the whole team.
Is he a senior?
No, I think he's a junior. He's a junior. Okay. Maybe a redshirt junior. So there was a game, and we kind of talked about all of it there, and I know he's probably talked a little bit too much about all of that stuff, but a lot of issues still in this with this team offensively, and we kind of highlight what I think some of the issues are. It's we're not the greatest execution team all the time, even though we have a lot of talent. And, you know, some of that is because we lost a very talented player that could cover up for your execution, you know? Jeff Wilson. Jeff Wilson was really good. Also, Turner Smiley was really good. And, you know, he took a lot of pressure off a lot of guys. I think everybody remembers Jalen Guyton balling for the first half of the season, and he did. He won Newcomer of the Year, deservedly so. He was really good. After he got that injury, Turner Smiley stepped up, and he continued that run. He probably should have more yards. I think against Rice, he caught it, and there was like a play to him pulling it back, but he like leaped over a dude and took it 80 yards, but he got called back. Turner Smiley was really good last season, especially to close it all out. And right now it's Rico Bussey playing really well and not a whole lot of other guys.
I mean, he has been balling all year long.
Yeah. Short slant to Rico Bussey. He turns it upfield, scores a touchdown. That's his living right now.
I mean, it works. I mean,
he might be.
He's not a one-trick pony, but you give him one trick and he's really good at it, then it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you guys could stop it. I mean, again, it's the same way. If you find a weakness, it's something the other team can't stop, well, then call a play, see if they can stop it against you, right? Same deal. If you can throw it to Rico Bussey and he can go score touchdowns that way, keep calling that play. See if they can eventually stop it. And if they do stop it, try it one more time. See if they can stop it twice. Maybe they got lucky. Yeah, that's just smart. So here's the deal. We're playing UTSA. I don't imagine this game is going to be very filled. I took a look at the tickets. You got like sideline tickets for like $20. No one is going to be at this game. UTSA hasn't had anybody at their games in like 3 games in a row. I think, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, 15,000 people were there. I'm like, really? Because they look like seats. Like, 15... people had tickets, but they didn't go to that game. UTSA is awful. They're terrible. They lost, 23-0 to Marshall. And Marshall's been struggling.
Shut up.
Yeah, Marshall. If Marshall had an offense, they would have scored 50, but they didn't. You know, and everybody's like, "Well, yeah, you got to credit the UTSA defense." No, you don't, because FIU destroyed them. FIU, right? James Morgan might have had the better quarterbacking season in Conference USA, and I'm including Mason Fine in that. You look at his stats. He has a better completion percentage, a higher QB rating, fewer yards, right? But he throws the ball like 12 times fewer a game. It's like 27 attempts a game. Mason Fine throws it like 39. So his yards are not up there, but he has 2,600 yards, 26 TDs, 5 interceptions. Mason Fine, 25 touchdowns? And then 4 interceptions. I wouldn't complain if you gave Conference USA Player of the Year to James Morgan. I think they're probably going to give it to Singletary, but I wouldn't complain if you give it to James Morgan. What do you think?
I mean, what did I say about Marshall?
That they're not good. Well, I mean, Marshall doesn't have an offense, right? They have the freshman guy, Isaiah Green. He came out and threw for 300 yards in his first game. That's the first time throwing for 300 yards. They did well enough. They've had struggles on offense. They've running back. Everybody keeps getting injured all the time. So I make all that point just to say, hey, they should have scored more than the 23 they did against UTSA. So when you look at the scores, you're like, well, UTSA did okay. Their offense is awful, and their defense not so good. That's all my point there.
So what I will say about James Morgan is yeah, I mean, he – I don't know if he deserves Player of the Year, but I don't know what they're doing out there. You know, they had Magoo last year, and they've got James Morgan this year, and they're doing amazing things. I mean, when you look at James Morgan's numbers from 2017 and 2016 when he was in Bowling Green, they were awful. 45% completion percentage, 212 attempts. 5.9 yards attempt, 9 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I'm just reading across the line.
Mm-hmm.
They're awful, but Magoo and James Morgan seem like really good quarterbacks out there with Butch Davis. So, I mean, yeah, he's helping.
Sorry, he was laughing at the stat line.
yeah, I mean, Butch Davis out there is doing a good job with protecting his quarterbacks, their stats and not getting them exposed. And, yeah, they're in first place. And, you know, a lot of people didn't think they would be in first place. And I was right there with it's the possibilities there. The one that surprised me was Middle Tennessee, to be honest.
FIU controls their fate, and I think that's why they win it. I say all this, and this is not, you know, a conference podcast. This is not an FIU podcast. I say that to prepare everybody when Mason Fine doesn't win. And I tweeted that, and I think somebody was like, oh, who's James Morgan anyway? So just so everybody's like, what? Who is this guy that's winning? Just prepare yourself for the possibility that James Morgan wins Conference USA Player of the Year. I think you can make a very convincing argument that he deserves it. If you're old school, like, well, did he lead his team to victory? He's like, yeah, he led his team to a Conference USA title berth. You're like, okay, well, what are his numbers? Pretty much the same as Mason Fine's, and actually better in a few important categories, right? More touchdowns.
Maybe.
Yeah, and efficiency. Like, look, I'm not good. Is Mason Fine a good quarterback? Yes. Right. If he loses this Conference USA Player of the Year award to this guy, are we going to, you know, go riot in the streets? No. And we shouldn't, right? Mason Fine's still a good quarterback. He's still deserving of a lot of things. And so just prepare yourself for him not winning it. And it's not really like it's being stolen. It's, you know.
I guess I didn't have it in my mind. But I don't know. I guess, you know, if you're divvying it up between Player of the Year and MVP, I mean, Singletary is going to get one of those.
Yeah.
You know, 1,200 rushing yards, 22 rushing touchdowns. It's, you know, he's an NFL caliber player, and he's going to get one of those. And for the second one, you know, James Morgan, you're making a pretty good case for it. And he's going to be a guy, like you said, that everybody's like, who? What did he do? And so you don't have, you know, the question is, does he have big-time plays in big-time situations like Mason Fine does? And I think the spotlight might help Fine in that case, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, look, I want Mason Fine to win it, and I think you can make an argument that, you know, he wins it. But like I said, I think you can make a convincing argument that James Morgan deserves it. Like, hey, title berth, he has like been, you know, he stepped into a new team, led his new team. He's made some game. He had a couple game winning drives to win, you know, against like a Middle Tennessee, et cetera, et cetera. So like you know, you can say, hey, clutch situation, get him, beat one of the best teams in the division, right? They did get destroyed by FAU though, but you know, whatever. Let's talk a little bit more about this UTSA game in this last 5 minutes. I want us to win 87-100 to nothing, and to have 1,400 yards of offense. And if we don't, I will be slightly disappointed. Just slightly, though, you know.
Fire all the coaches.
What are you doing, Seth? Yeah, I might wrestle him right there in the 50-yard line. Let's go. Let's go, Seth.
Now that we have lost to ODU, I feel pretty good about not losing to UTSA. If we hadn't lost to ODU, I would have had that weird feeling in my stomach about, you know, we haven't lost that one game that we weren't supposed to lose, but we've gone through that. We're going to go into UTSA, you know, in front of 14 people, and then come home with a giant win. Or, I mean, score.
All right, let's break it down this way. What are the three? Here's like last season, we're going into that Rice game. This is the same kind of situation where like there were more North Texas fans on the road than there were Rice fans at home. Rice had like very little to play for. Their coach had been fired, basically. It was all kind of over. This one, the fans want the coach to be fired. The offense is god awful. Like they didn't cross. They've crossed the 53 times against Marshall. They only scored 7 points against FIU on the very last play of the game where the quarterback just threw it up to the end zone. So they would have got shut out. The week before that, they only scored 3. So they've scored 10 points in three weeks, right? They haven't hit 200 yards of offense. I can't say that they did anything very good. Like they had negative 27-yard rushing last week. Like they're very, very bad. And so not a whole lot of enthusiasm. Got a bunch of young guys out there, right? So North Texas, you know, you're not looking at the opponent thinking, all right, you know, they're very tough. We're going to get up excited about that. So that's a very easy way to just kind of, man. And especially if you had something to look forward to. Like, okay, we got to prepare for the conference title game the week after when we take on, you know, FIU or whoever it's going to be. That's an easy way to slip up. But you got nothing else to play for. So your whole focus is on this one. And like you said, you're remembering that old Dominion game, right? You're like, we can't lose. We can't be dropping games. You know what I mean? Like, you have that burning in your head, and you're like, you know what? We just need to destroy this team. Now, here's the problem, is that playing a bad team, and I'm going to do that thing where I compare my rec league basketball experience to these quasi-professionals here.
Pro, yeah.
Same, it's the same thing. So we were playing a very bad team, right? Like sometimes the league we're in, sometimes you get some people and you're like, this is just not good. I think they had a lot of injuries. It was like they're not good, and it kind of threw us all off. It just that because you kind of feel bad a little bit. You're like, okay, I guess I'll take this wide open three again. But it you don't. And then the very next game we played a team that was our level, and so it was easier to play and everybody played better. It's kind of weird when a team is just that bad. Although it was not bad for UAB, it's not bad for FIU, it's not bad for Marshall. Three well-coached teams, right? So we'll see if North Texas is a really well-coached team. If we play down to UTSA, or if we play the way we know how to play, right? And I'm expecting us to do the latter, playing the way we know how to play. We're a little bit past playing down to the competition, right? Was it 2016 playing at UTSA? Yeah, it's not those teams. This is a good team, and one thing I've been saying all season is that we, especially early in the season, we were really good at beating up teams that we were supposed to beat up, and I expect that to happen in this one.
Let's do it.
Do you have, I mean, we're 0-2 at the Alamo Dome. Can you believe that? 0-2.
Yeah, and one of them was, the first one was after Thanksgiving. I'm blanking on his name. He muffed the punt. He had to stay away from it. We were supposed to come back, drive back, and win the game, but he muffed the punt.
Yeah, as a former running back, right? Turned corner, and he actually like disappeared for a while, and then he came back to kind of play kind of late in the season to fill the spot. That 2014 season was bad. It was not a good season. And Yeah, I think their offense sucked at that point. And this is what kind of scares me because I think about that. Everybody remembers 2013. We lost at home. Shouldn't have lost, right? 0-1 at Apogee. Okay, 0-1 in the series. Next year, Alamo Dome, we lost that one. They had a very bad offense. We had a bad offense, but McNulty had a good day. And their quarterback, out of nowhere, had a good day. And we couldn't stop them. They ran all over. I think they scored 30 on us. And, yeah, we had a chance to get it, and we could have drove down, won the game. I think it was Reggie Pegram's last game. He threw the gloves into the stands. I have those gloves. I can't remember his name. But, yeah, he touched the punt, so we didn't get it, and they ran the ball out. Okay, lost. 0-2 to UTSA. 0-1 at the Alamo Dome. 0-1 at Apogee. Then 2015, we win, right, DeMarcus Smith, who will always live in a special place in my heart because he's the first quarterback to beat UTSA, right? And that ugly game, and something about locking the gate. I don't know what that means still, but they locked the game. And they got to tweet. By the way, UTEP had that same situation, right? They got blown out by Western Kentucky right now. I think we followed the UTSA game by getting blown out by Western Kentucky, right? Is that what happened? That season?
I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah.
So then UTEP, they beat Rice, lose to Western Kentucky the following week. There you go.
Is that Larry Lee?
What about him? That he
the guy that muffed the punt.
No, he was a cornerback. Larry Lee was a safety. Hard hitting Larry Lee. Okay, so then 2016, Mason Fine's first year at the Alamo Dome. We lose that game. Mason Fine turns the ball over 3 times. We turned the ball over 4 times, I think, total. Jeff Wilson, you know, fumbles at the 1. He did a miracle play, but I forget that. He fumbled. They were almost going to return all the way, right, to end the half. But he chased him down, tackled him, kept us in the game. Just some awful turnovers in that one that really just – you can see how far Mason Fine's progressed because he used to roll out, try to fire it down the field, make a play, interception. So you can see how, you know, he's like, okay, I'm gonna throw the ball away. He's so much better now. Then last year, miracle win, right? 98-yard drive. That was our second win at Apogee. 2-1 at Apogee. We're still 0-2 at the Alamo Dome. There's all the games we played against UTSA.
Yeah, I just want to win.
I just want to win, baby.
Zach Whitfield?
Yes. I had a W in my head and was slowed in. I thought, if I don't look at it in my brain, I will figure it out. But there you go. Yeah, Zach Whitfield. He was a running back, turned a cornerback, and he got, I think he had like 4 interceptions, 5 interceptions in his career. He did a pretty decent job
of being a quarterback. They needed him back, and so he was a good fill-in for that team.
Yeah, he did all right. So, yeah, North Texas should wipe the floor with them. And if this were a true, full-on historical rivalry, it would cause some consternation in San Antonio, maybe get me and Frank Wilson fired. But I don't know what's going on there. But that would also make it, like, the first – that's very rivalry-ish, right, to, like, be the game that makes the team fire the coach, you know? Have we ever been that team? Against SMU, yeah, we did. Yeah, June Jones is like, I quit. 41-6? I quit. Or 43-6? I quit.
43-6, yeah.
Okay. Any predictions for the game before we wrap this up in 1 minute?
We win by a lot. 48-17.
I think we can get 50. I think we win 55-13. And I think that's only because we put in some backups in there.
Yeah, that's
right. 55-13, that's my call right now. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for sticking with us. We apologize for the weird audio in the beginning of this podcast, but you know, Aldo is just bound and determined to ruin the show every week, he says.
I got wires everywhere.
you know, you can find us on Twitter, Mean Green Nation. Thanks again. This is the whole season. We completed the whole season. For the most part, all the home season at least. The next one will be one complete season again, and then we got the bowl game, and then like, but we're winding down clearly. So thanks everybody for listening. We got some good feedback. Everybody, you know, They like Aldo for some reason. I don't know why. I don't like Aldo.
I don't listen to anything.
I hope that he doesn't show up every week. But there he is. I'm like, oh, I can't. There he is. No, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. In case we don't get to tell you this later on, you know, happy Thanksgiving, right? Happy holidays, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and any Thanksgivings out there?
Yeah, all that good stuff. Enjoy your time with your family. That's mostly what matters. I'm trying not to bring any, you know, leftovers to the tailgate, but I don't know what we're gonna cook up. I'm gonna keep it simple because I'm not a big do it up. I don't want to have a mobile barbecue, you know, like restaurant at a tailgate. I like to keep it simple. But, you know, that's just me. Should be a good time. Part. Yeah. Are you making it down?
No, I'm hosting a Friendsgiving that day.
There you go.
Yeah, some friends are coming over from Denver, and I'm going to smoke a pork shoulder.
Cool. That's good. Yeah, well, anybody come down to San Antonio, tweet at me. I'll try to let you know where we are at the tailgate. But I'll try to make it to the alumni tailgate that's going to be down there, right? UNT is hosting the big thing. They did it two years ago. We went there. That one is at Halloween, so we were dressed up. I was the Riddler. We all did green, right? I was the Riddler. My mom was like a witch with like green face paint. My wife was like Poison Ivy, I think she was. And then my kid, I only had one at the time. The kid was like a green dinosaur, and she was super cute, and everybody loved her. But yeah, it was like the 29th. So it was the couple of days before Halloween. This year, probably not dressing up as anything crazy. It's like, you don't want to be a turkey at Thanksgiving, right? Cause it's the food, you know?
I mean, might as well.
I guess. I don't know. I might look like a turkey just because I'm going to eat a lot, you know? So you're like, man, who's that guy? Is that a lineman or is that a lineman doing over here? Oh, hey, guys, it's me. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for listening to the show. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.